Okay, well, you know what I'm going to say, so hopefully I won't disappoint you. And it goes like this. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins, and that would be the book of Devarim, or Deuteronomy, chapter 3. We're most of the way through chapter 3, and in fact, it is verse 23 we're going to go to, and it says, "And I besought Yahuwah." All Yahuwah, actually. So, the first unique word there, of course, is, "And I besought," or, "And I pleaded," Vayet Chanan, Yahuwah, all Yahuwah at that time, and he said, so this is Moshe, of course, speaking, this is his, literally, his farewell address, the last month of his life, and I'm going to introduce this by noting, too, not only is it going to be kind of a personal introduction, but we're going to see some of the most important commandments in this Torah portion, certainly the one that is referred to as the most important commandment by Yeshua, when he's asked the question. Also, of course, the Ten Commandments, and that's essentially the other commandment that's not part of the Ten, at least not directly, although indirectly, there's obviously a connection. But those are repeated in here, as well as some other very important elements that tie all these things together. So again, this is Moshe speaking, and he says, "Oh, Yahuwah Eloheka, you have begun to show your servant thy greatness, your strong hand, for what God is there in heaven or on the earth that can do according to your works and according to your mighty acts?" So he is going to beseech Yahuwah, and I guess we begin with the praise. And he says, "Let me go over, I pray you." So here comes the request. "Let me go over and see the good land that's beyond the Jordan and the goodly hill country and Lebanon." So he would very much like to go into the land after all this time. We pretty much know the answer. He's not going to be allowed to. And he tells us that Yahuwah was in fact wroth with me for your sakes. And he didn't listen. He didn't hearken to me. And Yahuwah said to me, "That's good enough. Let that suffice you." And that is, according to Rashi, an interesting way to put it, because the verb is rav lecha. And literally what it means is, let it suffice you, or you have so much. Don't speak to any more about this matter. That's good enough. That's it for now. Let it go. "Get yourself up to the top of Mount Pisgah. Lift up your eyes to the west, to the north, south, and east, and behold with your eyes, because you're not going to go over this Jordan River. But instead, charge Yahushua and encourage him and strengthen him, because he will go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you shall see." So at least he's going to get to see it. "Now," says Moshe, "we abode in the valley over against Bet Peor. And now, O Israel, hearken to the statutes and unto the ordinances." So here are these two words that have the legal implications. Huk is the word that has generally been translated as statute. Remember, a huk is "do it because I tell you." You don't have to understand why. And in this case, it's ha hukim, because it's plural, "which I teach you." And by the way, this is interesting. This is the first use of that verb, lamad, to teach, in all of Torah. "To do these things, so that you might live, and go in and possess the land which Yahuwah, Elohim of your fathers, is giving you." So, it's about understanding. He's going to teach them, and you will do them. Here comes then one of the, two repetitions in the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to see this twice. Turns out it's also the last commandment in the Bible, if you want to look it up, at the end of Revelation. And and it's phrased a bit differently there, but it amounts to the same thing. Don't add to or subtract from. You do that, you're in trouble. "You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor shall you take away from, diminish from it, or subtract from it, that you might keep the commandments of Yahuwah, which I command you." So let's not have any doubt about it. These are what is written, and you are not to add to them or subtract from them. And as you know, I frequently point out that in Yeshua's very first public address, the Sermon on the Mount, it's one of the very first things he says. "I'm not changing, not anything. Don't let anybody tell you that the Torah is being done away with. Not one yod or one tittle is going to be removed from it. He's not going to add to it either." So how do we know that? Well, because he is the author of this. He was consistent with his own word. If he hadn't been, he wouldn't have been who he was. "Your eyes," says Moshe, "have seen what Yahuwah did in Baal Peor. For all the men that followed the Baal, the Lord of Peor, that Yahuwah Yireel has destroyed them from the midst of you." So don't follow that. You know better. "But you did in fact cleave unto Yahuwah Yireel, and are alive every one of you this day. Behold, he says, I have taught you. Here it is again. Statutes, hukim, ve mishpatim, ordinances, even as Yehoiachin commanded me, so that you should do so in the midst of the land where you are going in to possess it. So understand, he is admonishing them. They're fixing to go into the land. It is vital that you understand these things so that you might prolong your days on the land. As we know, he's going to remind them of this too. They're going to fail at that. But it is vitally important that they understand why, and that what they are to do is keep his statutes, his judgments, his commandments, not add to them, not subtract from them. So he says keep. And the word here really is shema. It's the plural, the y'all plural form. So ve shamartem, y'all keep, observe, hear, obey, do, and do this. All of these statutes, judgments, commandments. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples. That when they hear these statutes, they'll say, surely, this is a great nation. This is a wise and understanding people. For what other great nation is there that has Elohim so nigh unto them as Yahuwah our El is whensoever we call upon him? And that's amazing. And of course, this is a reminder at this point, he is dwelling among them in the cloud and in the pillar of fire, and the Mishkan is there. Only just take heed to yourself, he says, and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But instead make them known unto your children and your children's children, the day that you stood before Yahuwah your El in Horeb, when Yahuwah said unto me, assemble before me the people, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So again, a reminder of the things that they have already heard once, they're going to hear them again. And you came near, and you stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the heart of heaven, and darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And Yahuwah spoke unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but note, you saw no form, only a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even the 10 Deborim, the words, the 10 sayings, and he wrote them upon those two tablets of stone. And Yahuwah commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and ordinances, again, those same words that appear, hukim ve mishpatim, that you might do them in the land that you're going over to possess it. So, take heed, therefore, good heed unto yourselves, because you did not see any manner of form on the day that Yahuwah spoke to you in Horeb. Now, this is important, because what we recognize is he's going to warn them against fake deities, these images, these idols. They demanded a golden calf. That's where they got into trouble. The significant element here is the day that you heard his voice, scared the living you know what out of you, remember? Cows, calves, rocks broke, according to the Midrash, and the people came and they said, whoa, this is really scary. Don't do this anymore. But the point is, they did not need to see a form in order to recognize what they were hearing. It was obvious. They could not deny it. So you saw no manner of form that day when you were spoken to out of the midst of the fire, lest you deal corruptly and make yourself a graven image, the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, likeness of any beast that's on the earth or any winged fowl that flies in heaven, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground or any fish like the Pope's Dagon hat. The funny fish hat that's in the water under the earth. Don't do any of that pagan crap. Lest you lift up your eyes unto heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the host of heaven, be drawn away and worship them and serve them, which Yahuwah your El has allotted unto all the peoples under the whole of heaven. But you, Yahuwah has taken and brought forth out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. Now, Yahuwah was angered with me for your sakes, he says. Interesting. Told him that he should not go over the Jordan. I should not go into that good land which Yahuwah has given you for an inheritance, but instead I must die in this land. I don't get to go over the Jordan, but you do go over and you'll possess that good land. So take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of Yahuwah, which he made with you, and instead you end up making a graven image, even the likeness of anything which Yahuwah your El has forgiven you, has forbidden you. For Yahuwah your El is a devouring fire, a jealous Elohim. So when you be, this is, by the way, another one of the names that we'll recognize. It's El Kana, the jealous El, the one who is zealous. When you beget children and children's children, then you have been long in the land, and you'll end up dealing corruptly. You'll make a graven image, the form of anything, and you'll do that which is evil in the sight of Yahuwah, your El, to provoke him. So, to warn you in advance, he is pointing out, I am now calling heaven and earth. These are the same two witnesses that we've seen before. We're going to see them again. We're also going to note that it's the same two witnesses that Yeshua calls and points out when he says he's not changing anything as long as those two witnesses exist. I call heaven and earth as witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land that you're going over the Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but in fact you'll be utterly devoured. And Yahuwah will... Now notice, folks, as we are reading this and remembering his words, these things have in fact, as he said they would, they have come to pass. And what's interesting to me is there is a very, very specific prophecy here. I want to pay attention to it because it's one of the number of things that I'd say is very vital that we understand as we go through this. So, I call heaven and earth against you. It's going to get bad. Yahuwah will scatter you among the peoples, and you shall be left few in number among the nations where Yahuwah shall lead you away. And here we are, still scattered. And then he says, listen to this, and there's a Rashiism on here that I think is important. There you shall serve other gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. Now, Rashi notes that, wait a minute, if you think about it, the reason why they have been scattered is because that's what they were already doing. Right? They were scattered for idolatry. We're still scattered for idolatry. So, what's new? Well, the Rashi comment essentially says, you also serve the people that make them and that worship those things. So it's a form of bondage that goes beyond just the idolatry itself, the idolatry and the bondage to the idolators. And I guess sometimes it's getting hard to tell which is which. But from there he says, now here's the specific prophecy that I want to pay attention to. From there he says, you will seek Yahuwah your El. Are we there yet? You will seek him, and you shall find him. Seek, and you shall find, if you search after him with all your heart, with all your soul. In your distress, he says, when all of these things have come upon you, in the end of days. I'll say it again. Are we there yet? Then you will return. Here's another formal statement of prophecy. You will return to Yahuwah your El, and you will hearken unto his voice. So I see that as a quite definitive and actually a very positive and wonderful commandment or prophecy. For Yahuwah your El is a merciful God. He will not fail. He will not fail you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore unto them. So ask now about the days past, which were before you, since the day that Elohim created man upon the earth, and from one end of the heavens to the other, where has there been any such thing as this great thing is, or has been heard anything like it? We're talking about serving the one true God, creator of the universe. There's nothing like it. Did a people ever hear the voice of Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you heard, and live? Or has Elohim essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, as he did? By trials, by signs, and by wonders, by war, by mighty hand, and by a great and outstretched arm, by great terrors, according to all that Yahuwah your El did for you in Egypt before your eyes? He brought them out of bondage. Now, interestingly, one of the things that I think is fascinating, you study the founding era and see that... in particular, John Adams, Ben Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson, when they were commissioned to go and create a great seal for the United States, one of the things that they firmly believed was that the New World was, in fact, a new iteration of Israel. And they saw the people of America that had come out of a form of bondage in Europe and now had defeated the greatest army, the greatest power, the greatest empire on earth, arguably the greatest that the world had ever seen, and were free. They saw that as a dual fulfillment, if you will, of this prophecy of Israel and the things that he did for them that he had done prior to this for the Israelites coming out of Egypt. Unto you it was shown, that you might know that Yahuwah, he is El, there is none like him, none else beside him. Out of heaven he made you to hear his voice, that he might instruct you, and upon the earth he made you to see his great fire, and you did hear his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, and chose their seed after them, and brought you out of his presence, with his great power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before you, that are greater, more powerful, bigger, scarier, right, mightier than you, and then bring you in to give you their land for an inheritance as it is this day. So we've seen this. This is a theme that's been repeated now a number of times. These were scary dudes. Nah, nothing. They're not going to stand in your way. So know this day. Lay it to your heart that Yahuwah, he is Elohim. In heaven above and upon all the earth beneath, there is no other. Ein. Literally, the Hebrew word, it's an interesting Hebrew word. There ain't no other. And ein is a little bit like the Hebrew word ain't. The English word ain't. It's kind of like ein. So if you have trouble remembering it, I found that to be a memory aid. I'll tell you, ain't is not a great word because ain't in the dictionary. But ein is. So remember that one. You shall, it says, keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you this day, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days upon the land which Yahuwah your El gives you, ha yamim, for the days. Now, some renderings say forever, and it's not forever, because we know that we have been kicked out. He told them then they were going to be. So it's for the days that you're there. So, ha yamim, for those days. Then it says Moshe separated three cities beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise. So these are essentially what are called the cities of refuge. These are places for the manslayer to go. And the manslayer might flee thither, and he that slays his neighbor unawares. In other words, he is making it real clear. Scripture is very, very clear and repeats it several different ways, so there's no doubt about it. This is not somebody who lays in wait. This is not somebody who premeditates. This is not somebody who has any reason to even be thought, oh, yeah, he did this on purpose. This would be what would be called manslaughter. It was an accident, not deliberate. So he did not hate him in the past, and fleeing unto one of these cities, he might live. So, the three cities, Bezer in the wilderness, in the tableland, for the Reubenites, Ramot in Gilead, for the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan, for the Manassheites. And this is the Torah which Moshe set before the B'nai Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the ordinances which Moshe spoke unto the children of Israel when they came forth out of Mitzrayim, Egypt, beyond the Jordan, the valley over against Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon, whom Moshe and the children of Israel smote, they kicked his butt. And when they came forth out of Egypt, they took his land in possession. Likewise, the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, which were beyond the Jordan, towards the sunrise, towards the east. From Arar, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, even unto Mount Sion, same thing as Mount Hermon. And all of the Arabah beyond the Jordan to the east, even unto the sea of the Arabah, under the slopes of Pisgah. So, chapter 5. Moshe now calls unto all Israel, and he says unto them, and here's the famous words, it's not the only time, even in this Torah portion, we're going to see it. And it says this, hear, Shema, Israel, the statutes and the ordinances. There are those words again. The statutes, ha-hukim, and the ordinances which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and observe them and do them. Yahuwah, it says, our Elohim, he cut, literally, karat, a covenant, a brit, with us in Horeb. And Yahuwah didn't make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, all of us who are alive this day. So this is a covenant that had, in fact, existed back when the promises were made to Abraham. But it is now being, if you will, think of it as renewed. It's one of the things that we're going to see is renewed later in the renewed covenant. So the thing about his covenants, they're eternal, even when men screw it up. So he didn't make this just with our fathers, but with us, all of us, alive this day. Yahuwah spoke with you face to face in the mountain, out of the midst of the fire. I stood between Yahuwah and you at that time to declare unto you the word of Yahuwah, because you were afraid, because of all that fire, and you didn't go up into the mountain. He said the following. Okay, so here is where we're going to get the Ten Commandments. Now, sometimes traditional people will stand for these, and you can stand if you'd like to, wherever you are. But it says this, Anoki Yehuah. And as you know, I have a friend, I guess I would say a late friend, rabbi, and I have always appreciated his insight onto this, because he said essentially the way he likes to teach it is, you could put a period after that one. Anoki Yehuah. I am Yehuah Yireh. And that's the first commandment. I like that understanding. He is going to tell us more. But if we simply wrap our heads around this idea that he is who he says he is, we get the point. Anoki Yehuah, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, you shall have no other Elohim before my face. You shall not make unto yourselves a graven image, even any manner of likeness of anything that's in the heavens above or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, Yehuah Yireh, am Elkanah. There it is again, jealous El, visiting the Torahlessness, the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, and upon the third and fourth generation of them who hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousandth generation of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, I always like to point out that conjunction in there, showing mercy to the thousandth generation. We're not even close to that yet. Of those that love me, okay, but there's an and keep my commandments. When you see a conjunction, understand both parts have to be true if you want that blessing, the mercy. You shall not take the name of Yehuah Yireh in vain. You shall not reduce it to nothingness. Notice when I read this, I'm going to get that L-O-R-D, which reduced his name, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, to nothingness, and get it the hell out of his commandments, because if there's anything that really irritates me, it's a commandment that says, do not do what they just did when they wrote your blankety-blankin' Bible and did it 7,000 times. Taking his name that he says you shall know and making it nothingness. How's that for taking the name in vain? No, folks, it's not saying, God damn it. That is not what this is talking about. What it's talking about, I believe, is taking his name and making it worthless nothingness, removing it, hiding it, turning it into a big zero, and doing it 7,000 times, and then putting something else in there so you do not even acknowledge his real name. Is about as close as it gets to a violation of taking his name and removing it and turning it into nothingness. Yehuah, it says, will not hold him guiltless who does that, who takes his name in vain. Notice, it's not the Lord, it's Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh who will not hold those people guiltless who call him by another name and reduce his name and literally take it out of the Bible. Observe then, and this is the same word, Shema, the root word there, Shamar. Observe, do, keep, honor, memorialize, remember. Lots of ways, but observe is the shamar, in this case, hear and obey the Sabbath day, to keep it set apart, kadosh, as Yehuah Yireh commanded you. 6 days you shall work, labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath unto Yehuah Yireh. In it you shall not do any manner of work, not you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your ox, your ass, or any of your cattle, nor even the stranger that is within your gates. And your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as thou. So notice, even the manservants, the maidservants, the oxen and the cattle, they rest. You and this, those that are strangers too. You shall remember, Zakar is the word there, that you were a servant in the land of Egypt. Now, by the way, this one is different than the Sabbath command the first time around and in this particular area here. And Yehuah Yireh brought you out by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, Yehuah Yireh commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. He didn't say turn it into Sun God Day and call it the Lord's Day when it's not. It's certainly not the day of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Remember, when he talks about these things, this is Moshe speaking, but when Yah speaks, he says, these are my Sabbaths, mine. Next one, honor your father and your mother, as Yehuah Yireh commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you upon the land which Yehuah Yireh gives you. Now, you'll hear it taught that this is a commandment which carries a blessing. Then we get the triple bang, 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 the two-word commandments, at least in the Hebrew. Lo tirtzach is the first one. Lo tirtzach. Lo is not, right? No or don't. And then tirtzach, commit murder. Slay is really the way that that is best rendered, I think, in English. To slay somebody means to do so with guile and with planning and malice aforethought is one of the English terms you'll hear. This is not an accident. This is a commandment. You're not to slay somebody. Nor shall you commit adultery. So, ve lo tinaf. Lo tinaf. Don't commit adultery. Now, and I've made this point. You can check it in a concordance. Don't believe me. Confirm it for yourselves. But folks, this has nothing to do with marriage licenses or anything else. Tinaf is a verb that describes anybody, a man, who lays with a married woman. It takes a married woman to commit adultery. So if someone is taken, she is not your wife, don't do it. You shall not do that. Lo tinaf. Finally, ve lo tignov, steal, thieve, take. And some renderings actually will use the word kidnap for this, because you're going to see that there's another commandment about coveting your neighbor's wife. If you can't covet your neighbor's wife or your stuff or anything that's your neighbor's, it's hard to kind of steal them, because you got to think about taking them first. So the claim goes that this also includes at least the commandment not to steal people, not to kidnap. And of course, we got lots of that going on today. If you want to be a leftist president and make sure you get all the goodies, I guess you got to involve yourself with the FBI and the various three-letter agencies in child kidnapping and sex slings, slavery, and all that kind of jazz. It's a major business. Matter of fact, some say it's the most profitable business on planet Earth, stealing people and doing all these other evil things with them. Nor shall you bear false witness against your neighbor. Nor shall you covet your neighbor's wife, nor shall you desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his ass, or for that matter, anything that is your neighbor's. Now, you know I like the term permitted reach. In other words, how do I know, okay, if it's something that belongs to someone else and it's not in your permitted reach, it's not yours to take, then you keep your hands off of it, whether it's his wife or his ox or his ass or his house or his car or whatever it might be, his new iPhone. It's his. It's theirs. It's someone else's. It's not yours. It is outside your permitted reach. Don't take it. Don't covet it. Don't lust after it. These words which Yahuwah spoke to you, all of you, and your assembly in the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and it went on no more. And then he wrote these, this is again Moshe speaking, of course, on the two tablets of stone, and he gave them to me. It came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, while the mountain still burned with fire, you came near unto me, all of the heads of your tribes, your elders, and you said, Ho, behold, Yahuwah RL has shown us his glory and his greatness. We've heard his voice. Oh, we sure did. Out of the midst of the fire, we have seen this day that Elohim does in fact speak with man, and he lives. Now therefore, why should we die? You catch the drift here? This scared the living you-know-what out of us. Once is enough. So therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of Elohim anymore. URL. Once was enough. Again, I'm afraid the next time around we'll just plain die. So they all agreed on that. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living Elohim speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? So, go thou near and hear all that Yahuwah may say, and you. So this basically is the people speaking to Moshe, and he's recounting the story. Look, next time around, you talk to him, okay? It's too scary for us. You talk to him, and you tell us what he said. Okay, so you will speak unto him all that Yahuwah Yireh speaks unto you, and then we'll hear it and we'll do it. And Yahuwah heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto me, and he said unto me, I've heard the people, I've heard the voice of the people which they've spoken unto you, and you know what? They make a pretty good point. All they have said, all of this that they have spoken is fine. Oh, guess what? Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me, to keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. So go, say to them, Return, go back to your tents. But as for me, stand you here by me, and I'll speak unto you all the commandment and the statutes and the ordinances which you shall teach them, so that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. You shall observe to do, therefore, as Yehuahurel has commanded you. You shall not turn aside, not to the right hand, nor unto the left. You shall walk in all the ways which Yehuahurel has commanded you, that you might live, that it might be well with you, and that you might prolong your days on the land which you shall possess. Now, this, he says, now, by the way, as we go through this, this is chapter 6 of Devarim, and it's going to start to sound very familiar. It certainly should, because we're going to see here very shortly the most important commandment in all of Scripture. So this, he says, is the commandment. Ha hukim. Oh, actually, it's ha mitzvah first. The commandment. Ha mitzvah. Notice it's singular. It's the commandment. The statutes, this time plural, ha hukim, plural. And the ordinances, again plural, ha mishpatim, which Yehuahurel commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land when you go over to possess it. It's an interesting way to put it. A singular commandment, and these other things are hukim and mishpatim. Lots of other ones that are commandments and statutes. But there is a single one, and we're going to see what that single one is very shortly. That you might fear Yahuwah, your El, to keep all of his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son's son, all the days of your life, that your days might be prolonged. So here, therefore, and here it is again, the word is Shema, and it's in the command imperative sense. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it might be well with you, and you might increase mightily, as Yahuwah, the Elohim of your fathers, has promised unto you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, here we go. This one, hopefully, you will recognize. Shema Yisrael, Yahuwah Eloheinu, Yahuwah Echad. Hear, or hearken, hear and obey better, O Israel, Yahuwah Eloheka, Yahuwah Echad. Yahuwah Yirel, Yahuwah is Echad. And we know the rest of this. V'havta et Yahuwah Eloheka, v'kol levavka, v'kol nefeshka, v'kol neodeka. You shall love Yahuwah Yirel, your El, with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you to this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall speak of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts, the word there is metzutzot, of your house, and upon your gates. And so, remember, the little box is actually called a metzutzah after the doorposts of your house. And they actually take this phrase, these verses, write them on a little scroll, put them inside the little box. And they put them on the doorposts of the house. So it's a literal, I don't have a problem with it. It's an interesting custom, tradition, but it is based, in this case, easily seen, right smack on this particular scripture. So, it's a bit literal, but I got to admit, I kind of like it. Write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. And it shall be when Yahuwah your El brings you into the land which he swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, great and goodly cities which you didn't build, houses full of good things where you didn't fill up, cisterns hewn out which you didn't have to do, you didn't hew them, vineyards and olive gardens and trees which you didn't plant, then you shall eat and be satisfied. And then beware, lest you forget Yahuwah, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall fear Yahuwah your El, and him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people that are round about you. For he is, here it is again, this is the third time we've seen this in this portion, Elkanah. Elkanah, even Yahuwah your El, is in the midst of you, lest the anger of Yahuwah be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. You shall not try, you shall not test Yahuwah your El, as you did when you tested him at Massah. You shall diligently instead keep the commandments of Yahuwah your El, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he has commanded you. You notice how that theme literally resonates throughout this portion? He says it in several different ways, and he says it over and over again. And the words statutes and judgments and commandments are two out of the three repeat, repeat, and appear over and over again. And he says, you shall do that which is right and good in the sight of Yahuwah. How do we know? Because he's told us. He made it very clear. That it might be well with you, that you go in and possess the good land which Yahuwah, your El, swore to your fathers. To thrust out all your enemies from before you, as Yahuwah has spoken. Now, when your son comes to you in the times to come, now this may sound familiar because it's actually something that relates very much to the idea of the Passover as well, and the commandment that we see there about teach your children. So when your son asks you, and he says, what does all this mean, these testimonies, the statutes, the ordinances which Yahuwah our El has commanded you? Then you shall say unto your son, we were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt, and Yahuwah brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And Yahuwah showed signs and wonders great and sore upon all Egypt, upon Pharaoh, his house, before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. Yahuwah commanded us to do all of these statutes, to fear Yahuwah our El, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be righteousness, right, Torah obedience unto us if we do exactly that. This is the essence of what it means to be righteous, to do precisely this. Observe to do all of this commandment before Yahuwah our El as he has commanded us. And then chapter 7. Now this is where the Torah portion ends, and it's the first 11 verses of the chapter. When Yahuwah your El shall bring you into the land that you go in to possess it, and he casts out all those nations, many of them, before you. And remember the names here, the Hittite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when Yahuwah your El delivers them up before you, and you'll smite them. Then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. So this is important. And the problem, of course, is, as we know, this didn't exactly happen the way it was supposed to. Happened a little bit. We saw that with Sihon and with Og. But at this point, what we're going to see is he says, no, when I say smite them, I say whack them, I mean all of them. Utterly destroy them. And we're going to use these verbs that have this this interesting tense that essentially is the PL tense that is an action verb. A very specific, over-the-top kind of smiting, destroying, smashing, blowing to smithereens. It's got that element of finality to it. All right. You'll not make covenants with them. Show no mercy to them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. Well, that's kind of hard if you get rid of all of them. Nor your daughter shall not give you, you shall not give your daughter unto his son, nor his daughter shall you take unto your son. No marriages with them. Because these people, they will turn away your son from following me and convince him to serve other gods. So will the anger of Yahuwah be kindled against you, and he will destroy you quickly. So don't make that mistake. Here is what you shall do with them. And again, the conjugation is interesting. You shall break down their altars, dash in pieces their pillars. You get the idea here? These are action verbs in the true, biff-boff Batman and a comic book sense. Really whack on them. Wail away. Break down their altars, dash in pieces their pillars, hew down their asherim, their poles, and burn their graven images with fire. Because you are a set-apart, a kadosh people unto Yahuwah your El. Yahuwah your El has chosen you to be his own treasure out of all the peoples that are upon the face of the earth. And he, in fact, he did not set his love, his desire upon you, nor choose you because you were so massive in number, right? Not because there were more in number than any of the other people. You, in fact, were the fewest of all the peoples. It was because Yahuwah loved you. Huh. Because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers. He is a God who keeps his promise. He so loved the world, he loved you. There is a consistent theme here, isn't there? But because Yahuwah loved you, because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, has Yahuwah brought you out with a mighty hand, redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, yada, that Yahuwah your El, he is El, the faithful El, the one who keeps covenant, and mercy with them that love him, Here it is again, that same conjunction. Love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. But he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. That one I think is interesting. I look at this and I see what's going on in the world today. And I see so many people that are guilty of such massive crimes against humanity, of treason, of attempted destruction, of mass murder, of genocide, of injecting people, of cutting the genitalia off little boys and little girls. Any way you slice it, folks, these are people. Can anyone deny the obvious? Hell, the Democrat National Committee a couple years back demanded to get God out of their platform. They didn't want anything to do with him. Can we have any doubt that these people, those that so hate his people, hate him too? What does he say? He will repay him, those that hate him, to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hates them. He will repay him to his face. And let me stop here. May it be so. Yah, may you bring upon their own heads the destruction which they so richly crave and have earned and deserve. May it be so. Hallelujah. And may we see it, Abba. You, therefore, shall keep the commandments and the statutes and the ordinances which I command you this day to do them. And guess what, folks? That is where the Torah portion ends. Notice the contrast. Those he hates, he will repay them to their face to destroy them. You, on the other hand, you, how do we make sure that we love him and that he loves us? He who says, I love him and does not keep his commandments and is a liar and the truth is not in him. Remember that one? The contrast is right here. You shall keep the commandment and the statutes and the ordinances which I command you this day to do them. So may it be so. And like I said, with that, the Torah portion ends. And again, when it comes to a portion that has so many important things, the most important singular commandment, the commandment, the one that Yeshua says is the most important, and the 10 sayings, the 10 words, and so many other important underline, exclamation point, restatements of keep my statutes, my judgments, and my commandments. This one is a very vital one for us to understand and remember, especially given the contrast at the end there and now.